This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It's 9:38 a.m. Wednesday, the 6th of May. Before we get into anything else, let's take a quick look at the KLCI and how it's doing half an hour post-opening.
Well, it's kind of neither here nor there because it's just barely down, actually 0.08% or 1.15 points to 1388.40. Market's undecided where it wants to go. But at this moment, some of the big caps, which are down, KLK is 20 ringgit and 62 cents, for example, is down 8.87%. But we do see some weakness on the banking stocks. So like Public Bank down 0.37% to 16 ringgit. RHB is down 0.21% to 466, I think, all on the back of this OPR cut.
Yes, and this morning also we're taking a look at a political story because several states in Malaysia have so far opted against adopting the conditional movement control order that was unveiled by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin just last week. These states are Kedah, Penang, Selangor, Pahang, Kelantan, Negeri Sembilan, Sabah and Sarawak. They've reportedly refused to go ahead with the CMCO, with most deciding to stick with the lockdown until May 12th when the extended MCO ends.
Now, our International Trade and Industry Minister, Dato' Sri Mohamed Azmin Ali, said that the states not complying with the CMCO to restart the economy are being unfair to small businesses and could be sued by industry players. Senior Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob said that the CMCO had been gazetted, meaning that all quarters nationwide, whether states or district, must implement the CMCO. Meanwhile, states like Penang have come out to say that they were not consulted on the decision to reopen the economy.
So for more on this morning we have on the line with us Tricia Yeo, fellow at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, better known as IDEAS. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Tricia. So MITI Minister Dato' Sri Azmin Ali said state governments that are defying Putrajaya may be exposed to lawsuits from industry players. It's a curious threat since it places the onus on businesses to protest state government decisions. Can the federal government itself enforce its CMCO ruling over the states?
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks for having me. I think there are different legal interpretations as to the rights of the federal law to enforce, or rather to force and impose this requirement on all state governments. So one legal view, and I'm not a lawyer, so I'm more of a public policy analyst, so I'm looking both at the legal and the political and policy angle. So the one legal view is that the federal law, which is basically the gazetted regulation number 5, which is gazetted under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases, Act 342 that the lawyers have cited. So they believe that this act, which is a federal law, will supersede any other rights of the state and local governments. And they say this because there is an article in the Constitution, Article 81, which says that the executive authority of states are to ensure that they do not prejudice or conflict with federal law. And this is also something that Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, in his statement, a very strongly worded statement, this is also the article that he cited. So that is the view, that federal law, you know, it prevails. But the other legal view is that, in fact, things like public health and sanitation and prevention of infectious diseases, these fall under the concurrent list in the 9th schedule of the federal constitution. And that view believes that the constitution is basically supreme over any other act, which means that if there's any law that contradicts the federal constitution prevails. And not only that, local government also falls under the state list in the constitution, which means that state governments have the right to instruct the local councils that come under their watch to do as what the state policy would be. And what rights do local governments have? Local governments do have the right to license and to give permits to businesses to operate. So if you ask any restaurant, you know, say in PJ, the license that they get or the permit, whatever it's called, is actually coming from the local government. And the Local Government Act 1976 is very strong in that it gives the powers to local government to come up with whatever regulations that they see fit to ensure that, you know, these businesses are operating in accordance with even public health and sanitation. In fact, prevention of diseases is also included in the Local Government Act. So, I mean, I've just presented to you that there are two different legal views as to what rights the states have in, you know, in choosing to defy this conditional MCO. And I think it really depends on, you know, which position you take. But beyond, over and beyond, you know, what the law says, I think that it's only practical that in order to get the consensus and the cooperation to implement, you know, the strategic implementation of this CMCO, it's only right and practical for the federal government to obtain the agreement of all states, because essentially this is something that requires, you know, a whole of society approach. It's not enough to come up with, you know, a statement saying that, yes, the states were consulted, but then yet the states respond, you know, just a couple of days later saying that no, they were not consulted, or essentially that there seems to be a disconnect here between what the federal government is saying and what the state governments are saying. Last night, there was, interestingly, two different interviews given by leaders on Astro Awani, and perhaps this may shed some light on the matter. You know, Dato' Sri Azmin Ali said that the states had never been left out from the discussion, and that they had constantly been brought in for discussion. However, Penang's Chief Minister Chow Kon Yao seems to be the only state executive leader that has come out to clarify what actually transpired in this so-called consultation meeting on the 28th of April. That's the National Security Council meeting where all state representatives attend. It seems that, and I'm only quoting from what the Chief Minister said, so I can't verify the veracity of this. It seems, based on that interview, that the original plan from the Ministry of Health, which is called the District Risk Reduction Program, was meant to allow the economy to open gradually, starting with green zones across the country. The program was not to allow red zones to reopen, at least not immediately. And again, from what was said in the interview, it seems that the federal government agreed that they would complete at that point in time, the incomplete SOPs by the 30th of April, and made it seem that they would send these SOPs back to the states. So this never happened. So I think then there's a need to clarify, you know, like what actually happened in that meeting. And I think we also need to, in going forward, you know, ask the question, what does meaningful consultation mean? We do know that states, by being given equal weightage in the Constitution on matters of public health, sanitation, and prevention of infectious diseases, that should be taken seriously. And I don't think that this is actually what happened in this case. So this is why you see many of the states actually defying the order.
And Tricia, but we do note that the states that have defied the order aren't, are in Pakatan. Some of them are Pakatan Harapan controlled states, right? So is this a politicized kind of issue in a way?
I think that it would be seen as such if it was only Pakatan Harapan states that were making the decision not to comply, or rather half comply, right? Mm. I think the other thing to note is that the states like Selangor and Penang, they have come out to say that, oh no, it's not that we're not complying with the CMCO. What we're actually doing is to, you know, refine the regulations related to the CMCO. And also we would prefer to do it gradually rather than, you know, have a hard, you know, big bang approach immediately starting from the 4th of May, yes, on Monday. But what's more interesting is that the other states, or many of the other states that have chosen not to comply, are also Perikatan national states. So you cannot quite say that this is a politicized issue per se, because the states that are coming from the same coalition as the federal government in power at the moment, they too are choosing to, you know, adopt a wait and see strategy and approach. So this includes states like even Kedah, Kelantan, Sarawak, which is a, you know, PN supporting state. So then, what could one say of this politicized environment, another way of looking at it would be that, you know, these are the states that actually have a majority of state assembly persons that are of parties that did not originally belong to Perikatan National Coalition. So Kelantan, obviously, is a past state government. Pahang is dominated by UMNO state government, and Sarawak as well is GPS. They are not so highly dependent on Parti Bersatu, which is the key party in the federal government at the moment, holding the prime minister's position.
So, Tricia, do you then see that the state government's refusal to fully comply with the federal government's CMCO directive, does this reflect Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's weakening hold on power, especially given the recent tensions arising between Bersatu and UMNO?
It would seem that way because Malaysia has been used to having a very top-down, highly centralized government. Federal governments in the past have been able to impose their will, so to speak, or whatever instruction and directives to the state governments in the past, because in the past they were dominated by one and the same party. But this change over the last, decade or more, starting from 2008. So I think many people would see this to be weak leadership. But I personally think that this is also reflective of the states beginning to see that they do have some rights. In fact, it gives them, the Constitution gives them these rights and autonomy to make some decisions. And so they're exercising those rights in the interest of public health. And there is this, delicate balance that needs to be struck between public health and economic objectives. But I think in the analysis in which, especially within the parties of Bersatu and UMNO, where I believe, hierarchical, centralized leadership would normally dictate that the leaders' decisions are to be followed, in these parties where that's important. And the fact that these are the parties that are also not necessarily complying, looking again at the state of perhaps Pahang in this case, and Kedah as well, then the conclusion may be right in saying that the leadership is definitely a weaker one than a government that would have been able to impose this all the way through.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Tricia. And that was Tricia Yeo, fellow at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, giving us her thoughts on what this refusal by some state governments to comply with the CMCO means for the federal government. Right now, we have some messages for you. And then up next, we're going to be taking a look at the subject of U.S.-China relations with Aaron Connolly, research fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.